starting to wonder what I've got myself into with this class. I got to hear more stories, I guess, with 127. I just want to say, first of all, thank you to Director Ken Sisson. We'd go back a long ways. What he failed to mention was he was the police chief of Marion at that time when I reached out. And as I was driving up there with my wife, just reflecting back on that time, because he took me out to lunch, and at the time, Tim Burnett, who's also retired police chief from Merriam, was at that time, at that meeting. And just funny how you never know what life is going to throw at you. I mean, to think of that time back there, becoming a chaplain for Merriam, meeting Director Sisson, and here he is. He reached out to me about, I guess, probably about a month ago or so, to see if I'd be willing to do this address today. And it's just amazing what your relationships, you never know what they will lead to. My heart is pounding right now. I'm somebody who, I can't tell you how many messages I've preached. I've in the United States, in different countries, missing trips. I've been to places where I preach to literally, you know, hundreds, thousands of people, to small groups, small churches. My church is small. But in thinking about this address, it's probably one of the most important things I can be doing right now, at this time. Policing is not easy, but it's something that I've grown to really love. It's not something I set out in my life to be able to do. I didn't grow up thinking, oh, I'm going to be a police officer someday. No, I was a jazz musician. Ever since fifth grade, I was playing drums, percussion, interested in jazz. That's what I was doing professionally. I went to UMKC as a music ed major. Had policing was not in my mind whatsoever. When I went to Canada, I moved up there back in 1994, I ran into a guy named Greg Davidson that was with Halton Regional Police Service. His wife is still dispatched with him. Interesting enough, Greg now is the mayor of the city that he's in. But I started doing a ride-along. I did a couple of ride-alongs, and there was one particular time where we were getting ready to actually plan a trip to Kansas City, and all of a sudden a call comes out as far as the robbery in process, as far as the bank robbery. And so we jump into the car, and we're hightailing it down there. I thought maybe he'd leave me in a corner somewhere, but no. It took me right there, and they just tells me to duck down in the car. And I'm like, man, this is exciting. After all the ride-alongs I've been, this is exciting. Greg gets out. He's got his gun drawn. He's on the sidewalk. He's telling pedestrians to get out of the way and everything like that. And I'm just ducking down a car, big smile on my face, and then it dawned on me. I'm his pastor. Maybe I ought to pray for him. Instead of thinking about bullets flying, it's like, maybe I ought to pray for him, and I did. And everything was fine, you know, able to go into the bank after that and be able to see what victim services did in situations like that. And that's my wife and I had already applied to do that. And I think I was hooked on policing from that very moment, and I didn't even realize it. And from there, as you've heard, I've spent now some 25 years in and out of dealing with some aspect of law enforcement, from the victim service unit to being a volunteer police officer in Canada to chaplaincy down here, and to now where I am, an enforcement agent with the Kansas Racing and Gaming Commission, and dealing with the casino down in Pittsburgh, Kansas, Kansas Crossing Casino, which once I leave here, my boss tells me I got to go back to work. So I got a long shift today, but this by far is worth it. Policing is, as we know and as we even heard tonight, it's a tough climate. It's a tough job. I remember when I was hired at Merriam, it was a full week that went by before I told my parents what I'd done. I was 38 years old, married, and had a teenage son. Right? It's like you think, man, no big deal. No, I knew my parents would not necessarily be happy with my decision, but I knew it was something that I had to do, needed to do. In my panel interview at the time, and then he's another former Merriam police chief, Mike Daniels. In my panel interview, he said, it's unusual for a person to have two callings. Obviously, I'm called to preach, I'm a pastor, but really policing is a calling. And that's the first time I heard that was in that interview, and it's like, yeah, I guess it is unusual. It is a calling. It's something that you feel that you need to have to do. Policing today in the movies, I mean, it can be romanticized, even though I've never got to do half the things that police officers do in movies. I'm still waiting to commandeer a car to be able to chase after somebody. I still haven't had that happen. Never kicked in a door, actually, now that I think about it. All right, anyhow. But it's romanticized in a movie. But we know it's vilified in the media, and it can be ridiculed in the public. What's going to allow you to be able to continue on in this job, in this career? It's understanding this is a calling. It's something that you feel like you have to do. And if you'll allow me the opportunity as a pastor, and I promise I'm not going to preach one of my hour-long messages, But in Romans chapter 1, verse 1, it speaks of a particular person named the Apostle Paul that I think embodies the kind of character that police officers need today. Matter of fact, it's in the very book of Romans, in Romans chapter 13, that God ordained policing to be able to be help the society and all the evils and things that go on. And the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 1 and verse 1, he says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Those words talking about being a servant, being called, and separated. You realize, the 127th class, you're doing a profession that most people are not even qualified to do. And there are ones that are qualified to do it, but they refuse to do it. We understand the climate and how hard it is. And I think the most important thing I could do is not sugarcoat what this job is, what you're going to get into, but hopefully give you something that will be an encouragement that day after day when you go out, you understand and remember why you're answering this call. There'll be times where you know that you have made a difference. Just like the Apostle Paul, he had many times of triumphs and people that he was able to work with. But he also had many times of trials and persecutions, being thrown in prison unjustly, being ridiculed himself, being angry over situations. I mean, there's a lot that he went through if you have any idea about the Apostle Paul in the Bible. So to the 127th class, realize there will be great times. There'll be times you know that you make a difference, where you stop a DUI going down the wrong way on a highway, knowing that you undoubtedly saved lives. There'll be times when you know you'll use your CPR training and that you'll help bring somebody back to life. There'll be times when there'll be that kid that'll come up to your cruiser. Hey, can I sit in the seat? You let him sit in the seat, you let him turn on the lights, and you will make that kid's day. Perhaps influencing him to accept the call someday. But yes, there are the tough times. There are the times when you get blamed for other people's bad decisions. There's times where you'll be spat on. There'll be times where, again, you'll be ridiculed in the media. There'll be times where you have to deal with the hardness of dealing with the death of children. Just talking about that to one of my agents this morning before I went home and came up here. There are times when you'll escape death. And then there'll be those times when you know your colleagues won't. What's going to allow you to be able to continue on, to complete the call that I really believe that is God ordained? It's going to be holding on to those good times, just like you heard the speaker just before me. Hold on to those good times. That's what will allow you to be able to make it through. I'm in the process, it's probably like about a 10, 12 year process now, of writing a book about my experiences with Miriam and some of the things that I've been able to have the privilege to experience that are just absolutely funny. You will have those stories if you don't have some obviously already. Hold on to those good times. You see, it's a matter of service. Most people can't do this call. But when it gets tough and they need somebody to help, who are they going to call? They're going to call you. Soon, you'll be literally answering call of service after call of service after call of service. Why? Because you answered the call to be a law enforcement officer. Something that most people will never want to do. To the families that are represented here by these brave officers, I want to talk to you just for a few moments. Make sure you support them. I remember my mom, when she got over the idea of me being a police officer, she always asked me, when are my days, when are you working? Because I want to be praying for you when you're working. I said, that's great, Mom, but what about my days off? You're going to pray for me then? That's probably when I'm going to get shot. I don't think she liked that answer. In victim services, and just dealing with, I don't know how many death notifications I've done through the years, those families weren't looking for some great words of wisdom, answers to why this happened. You know what they appreciated? Me just being there. To the families of these officers, be there for them. There are going to be things that they just cannot talk about. There'll be things that'll be hard to talk about. Be there for them. Support them. Because the road that they've taken, the path that they have chosen, is a hard one. To the 127th class, Hold on to those good times. Remember that you are part of a brotherhood. You're part of a family. Don't be afraid to reach out to your colleagues. Talk to them about the things that are going on. Don't keep the bottle up inside. Trust me. Talk to them. That's what we're here for. So that you can be like the Apostle Paul. When he came down to the end of his life, when end of his call, he says in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. It is my hope and my prayer that you will be able to say the same thing. By the time you get to the end of your policing career, that you'll be able to say the same thing. You fought a good fight, because it will be a fight. There is a course laid out for you, that you finish it, and that you keep the faith. Thank you again for this honor, this privilege, and please, stay safe out there. Thank you.